A-Town. Yeah. Okay.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We are broadcasting live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. We're going to have Ask D. Mace in 1 hour.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Get those questions in for D. Mace. 615-737-1025 is the phone number.
You think Usher might play this song at the Super Bowl and halftime Sunday?
No, because he got a new CD. He has a new album out that
he's
came out.
He's got to play this
yesterday.
Come on, he's got to play this one.
This is a classic.
I think he will.
There's other songs he can play that I think people would love. But if y'all hadn't heard his new album, please get it. It's
good, huh?
It's
all right. I'm looking for
fire.
Some
is that what the kids say now?
Yeah. Is it good to work out to, D. Mace?
Yeah. It's good to work out to. Okay. You can work out to it. Yeah, there's some songs on there you can work out to.
I do wonder what he's going to start off with. A classic.
Maybe David Poyle.
There are odds for that.
Start off with.
There are odds for that. What's the first song? Ooh,
yeah. We'll get to that later in the show.
We'll get to that. That's the important stuff. Former Predators general manager David Poyle joins us now. David Poyle, appreciate your time, and it's great to have you back on our airwaves. We've got Captain's Night at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday night. Mike Fisher, Shea Weber, so many familiar faces to Predators fans will be back in the building on Tuesday. What is that going to be like for you, being able to kind of relive some Predators history?
It's going to be great for me, and I hope for our fans. It's kind of cool. As they say, time flies when you're having a good time. I can't believe it's been 25 years to celebrate the Predators. It's actually been longer for me since we started the year before, like in 97, and we had a couple of work stoppages or whatever. But I'm looking forward to seeing all those guys again. I think it's pretty cool. They were so important as players in our organization. As I always say, both not only on the ice but off the ice and with our organization in terms of their leadership. So I'm looking forward to it.
What kind of fanfare can we expect on Tuesday?
Well, as I understand, there's going to be a couple of the fan interactions. They have some things at the Omni Hotel. I think it's on Tuesday between 5 and 6 o'clock, where there's questions and answers. I think they're having a luncheon available on Tuesday. So, and then they're going to drop the puck, and I'm sure they're going to be around and be visible during the game for fans to interact with them. So, it should be good. Obviously, some of our most important players, as I said earlier, but in some cases, some of our best players. So, it's a lot of memories for me. I'll tell you that.
We're talking with former Nashville Predators general manager David Poyle. Now, David, have you gotten – and I know you were last year, you were sort of segueing out of it, and you were probably doing some things a little bit different, preparing Barry for the task at hand. But have you gotten used to the retirement this year, or are you still busy doing things?
Well, I'm still busy doing things. I don't think for somebody – who's been in hockey their whole life is ever going to be quite retired, if you will. I mean, as I say to Barry, there's the difference between he and I now is that I'm watching all the games and you know, win or lose, I'm going to bed like 5 minutes later. Win or lose for him, he's up for 3 or 4 more hours. You know, so it's certainly different there, and you know still communicate with you know, some people in hockey, and of course Barry and other people in the Predators organization. I've been around a little bit, but not, I don't think too much. So you know, it's good for me, if you would say. I'm getting weaned off the game, and retirement certainly is good. I'm actually speaking with you now. I'm down in Florida, which is can't beat that right now. But do I miss it? Of course, I miss it. But again, I'm fully comfortable with my decision, and really happy for our organization, for Barry, and actually, you know, how we're doing this year. I think the team is doing well, you know, because we took a big step back last year with some significant and big trades, and you know, there's a lot of assets we're getting back for those players that we traded away, but we don't have any of them just yet into our lineup. But in the next 2 or 3 years, you're going to see a real bump, I think, in terms of the younger players getting into our lineup and, you know, getting back into being a Stanley Cup contending team every year, which we want to do and which we've done for a number of years. So it's a little bit of a reset. But all in all, I'm in a good place, and I think the team is doing real well.
And that was going to be my next question, David, in regards to the team. Is this, from the outside looking in, knowing how you left the ball club, did you expect them to be at the point that they're at now, or do you believe they're a little bit ahead of schedule?
I actually think they're a little bit ahead of schedule. I mean, we're certainly going to find out a little bit more now coming off of the All-Star break. The games and the intensity gets tougher, and I love our work ethic. I think we certainly leave it all out on the ice every night. I love the character of our team. I like the way we play, all those things. I think we just, we're a little bit challenged to, score some goals. We're getting some, great production of our top line, but we need some other players, some younger players, to be able to chip in a little bit more and, give us a little bit of breathing room. So we'll see if that happens in this last 31 games. But all in all, you get a lot of younger guys like Evangelista, Tomasino, Jeremy Lauzon is a really improved player this year, and a lot of kids in Milwaukee that you haven't heard too much about. It, I believe they've won, knock on wood, when I say this, their last 11 straight games. They're probably as good as any team in the American Hockey League. And that means we got, several players are going to be wearing Predators uniforms in the not too distant future. So all in all, I think the plan is there's a plan there, there's a direction there, and we need to keep improving. We need these younger guys to be starting to make a little bit more of a contribution, and hopefully we'll see that in the latter part of this year.
David Poile is with us, and we're looking ahead to Captain's Night on Tuesday night when the New Jersey Devils come into town. There's a reason why we're doing it when the Devils are here, because the general manager of the Devils happens to be rolling through town. That's Tom Fitzgerald, who was the original captain of the Predators. And David, I want to take people back to that time, because it wasn't like you played a half a season with a bunch of new guys and said, let's see who emerges as a leader. You pretty much handpicked Tom Fitzgerald to be the first captain before you guys ever played a game. So take me back to those days and why he was the right guy.
Well, I think between Barry and myself, we looked at who we had from the expansion draft, and we were able to sign Tom as a free agent. And I think we also both realized how important it would be to form an identity, a culture, as soon as we could, as Barry coined the phrase, the Predators way. And it seemed to us that Tom Fitzgerald was this guy. A little bit of a background search on him as a person, a character, his family, all those different things. And he and his wife, Carrie, were terrific. And again, this goes back to what I said before. It's not only on the ice, but it's off the ice. Nobody's been to Nashville before. They were the social directors of our team, getting all the players in town comfortable, having over to their house or having different functions. And as I said to somebody else yesterday, that again, we were trying to be not only good on the ice, we're trying to be good off the ice. And that got into the, being involved with the community, which I'm so proud of, in terms of what our players and our people in our organization, how they participated in the Nashville community over the years. And that all started in the first year. And, Tom Fitzgerald deserves a lot of credit for knowing what to do, what the right thing was to do, and to help set the culture for the Predator way. So again, a player that wasn't, with all due respect, was not a star player, but could play on any team. He could play a role on any team, and he was an important piece for the Predators.
The next couple of captains, I think, are really cool in the evolution, because they were guys that emerged as leaders out of that group of, that first year of, let's just see if we can find some people that fit. And I'm thinking of Greg Johnson and Kimmo Tiiminen, who turned out to be really good players, but also they kind of followed along in the footsteps of leaders. And we continue to miss Greg Johnson, such a sad, we lost him too early, but kind of a quiet, underrated person in Predators history in a lot of ways, right? Because he sort of was that bridge from this hodgepodge of guys you got to work with in the first year to a good player on a really good team.
Yeah. Well, you talk about people that were low maintenance and were coaches' dream. That was Greg Johnson. I mean, honest as the day is long, how he played was, was no highs, no lows, no long slumps. It was just, he who is just a terrific guy and well-liked by everyone. He, I believe his roommate at the time was Scott Walker, you know, and Scott was, I'd say, way more flamboyant than Greg was, but it was sort of like, you know, the odd fellows kind of living together and being leaders of our team. But Greg was honest day's effort all the time. And you have that at the top of your leadership board there, everybody's going to come to play and they're going to respect what the captain does. Timo Tiiminen was a player that I'm so very proud of. And I think Barry and I, you know, we were lucky that we found him. He was drafted by LA and he went to a training camp with LA, but they thought he was too small to play. We were in a position to give people chances, and you know, we both saw him in a World Championship or something like that, and we said, we got to get this guy, and we ended up making a deal with LA to get two or three players, which he was one of them. And I mean, he turned out to be just getting better and better and better, and then he got his own confidence that he could play in the league, and he got his voice, if you will, and became a leader on our team for a long time. And again, a fun guy, upbeat guy, lots of energy, and it was a perfect guy for that time to be our leader and be our captain.
And David, it was, continue our discussion with David Poile, the first homegrown captain, if I recall correctly. I think I'm saying that right, but Shea Weber, who was, you know, drafted by the team, grew into that role. We got a little glimpse of it when he came back for Pecorine's honors and accolades. Just when he was recognized, you could tell how much the crowd wanted to jump in there. I think he's the guy that I know just personally. I'm excited to see him sort of have his moment on Tuesday night. I think the crowd is really going to be drawn to him. Now that all this time has gone past, you almost appreciate a guy like that even more, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. And you're right, homegrown, and got better and better, bigger and stronger, and had more, you know, gained his voice. He's, you know, somewhat of a shy person, I think, to an extent, unless, you know, get him alone one-on-one and what have you. But I don't know if I'm probably showing my age here, but I don't know if you guys remember this whole commercial, like E.F. Hutton, which was an investment company. When E.F. Hutton spoke, it was a little whisper. Everybody paid attention.
Really? Oh, yeah. I'm with you.
He didn't have to say much, but when he said something, that was it. And got everybody's attention, and you know, I don't want to say he ruled by fear, but I think he nobody wanted to cross Shea. Let's put it that way, and I don't think anybody wanted to disappoint Shea. So loved having him as a captain and as a player with our team. I mean, obviously one of the greats of all time with the Predators.
And I think you said this on our morning show earlier this week about, you know, the whole history of the trade, and if you look at the trade, Shea Weber for PK Subban, you know, both teams ended up having benefits, and PK Subban had three outstanding seasons for personally and for team success with the Predators. But of course, your heartstrings are for a guy like Weber with the history and all of that stuff. And I feel like enough time has gone past, right, that I feel like he's probably in a better place. I know you guys have talked through it, I think what people probably need to realize historically was that offer sheet, right? The contract, which is still enacted right now, was a big part of that whole equation.
Yeah, I said that yesterday on the morning show that, you know, it's not like if I could have a do-over. It's you know, there's, you know, I wish I could have had more one-on-one time with Shea, maybe in our relationship. You know, you have agents, you have the business part of hockey. I mean, it worked out well for all of us. Like, you know, he got a huge contract. We've had our best years with the Predators, but it felt like he should have been a Predator for his career. And I wish we could have worked together, he and I, or and his representatives, to make that happen. But it just was not meant to be under the circumstances. And you know, as I referred to yesterday, now we got a chance with people like Philip Forsberg and Yossi, you know, for them to be with us for their careers. We did it with Pekka. I think there's some real value for your franchise when you're able to do that. It doesn't happen very often in any sport with any players, but again, Shea was a special player for us, and I'm really happy that we've had our time to talk about my side, his side, and all of the things that have happened. And I know I'm really happy that he feels part of the Predators, and he's happy to come back to Nashville and for the Pekka thing, for the captain's thing. And he's certainly welcome in my book anytime to be part of the Predators, and he was a huge part of our history.
Former general manager David Poile. David Poile, appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us, and enjoy the walk down memory lane and the celebration of Predators history on Tuesday night.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Hopefully see you guys on Tuesday.
Appreciate it. Have a good one. Former general manager David Poile. I'm excited for Tuesday. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a blast. Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of the Nashville Predators, back in action on Saturday. Willie, I know that you're itching to get back to the rink.
I'm ready. I'm rested, ready to go, raring to go.
And it's an important stretch for the Predators, an important handful of games before the trade deadline to make a push to get back into playoff position. What do we want to see from the Predators when they're back on Saturday night hosting the Arizona Coyotes? We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. And, hey, you can tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tomorrow as MTSU basketball takes on FIU on the road. Pregame at 12:30, tip-off at 1 p.m., with coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3classichits.com.